In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This is the third Sunday after Pentecost, and this past Friday we celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we are given so many promises, so many guarantees of God's love for us, how eager he is to make it easy for us to return to him. And our Holy Mother, the Church, makes every first Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart and gives us the opportunity to return to God's graces. In today's Gospel, our Lord is surrounded by public sinners, and the scribes and Pharisees are scandalized at him. Here he is eating, associating, talking, rubbing shoulders with known sinners. And so our Lord gives them these two parables today of the good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep in the desert and goes after the one that is lost. And he even tells us there's more rejoicing over this one that was lost having been found and returned than there are over the 99 just who have no need of repentance. And then he gives us another parable of the lady who has 10 drachmas and she loses one, and she will not rest. She sweeps the house, she cleans and searches until she finds it. And then she can celebrate. Then there is peace. Then there is order back in her life. Until that time, there's unrest. There's a disturbance because things are not where they belong. And if I return back to Friday, our Lord, his Sacred Heart, he has opened up his heart and he welcomes us, but I ask you to look at the images of the Sacred Heart. That heart of our Lord is surrounded by a crown of thorns. It is usually surmounted by a cross. The mercy of God comes to us at a very dear price. He paid exceedingly for us to have the grace to believe, the grace to repent, the grace to love. And I know it's a topic that I can talk about quite frequently, but love is not really understood in the world today. At least I don't believe it is. When I hear things that tell us, oh, love is blind, and I say, no, love is not blind. Love is clear-sighted. St. John tells us God is love. I can tell you God is not blind. He sees everything. He knows everything. And then I hear our Lord say, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for the brethren. And I look at Christ hanging on the cross and I say, this is love. Love has very little to do with feeling good or enjoying company, being in the presence of those whom you like. To me, our Lord has made it very clear that love is self-denial. Love is carrying the cross. Love is dying to ourselves so that we can live for someone else. God left the angels in heaven. He left his glory in heaven. The Son of God left all of that to take on our nature, to become one with us, to completely humiliate himself, taking the form of a creature, though he is the Creator, God. And not only did he take our nature, but he suffered for 33 years. Here on earth for us, to show us the way that we can gain eternal happiness. He suffered and died upon the cross to let us know this world's not our home. Stop looking for heaven here and now. Stop looking for the glory here and now. This is all to await us in eternity. You want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. This is love. Do we love God enough that we are willing to say, I will follow you, I will do what you ask, no matter how inconvenient it is, no matter how displeasing it may be to my fallen nature, I will do what you ask because I love you. When we're ready to make this sacrifice, then I can say, we're ready to love. We look at couples that are married and speak of love. And they tell us that they love one another. What does it mean to love? I say to husbands, you must be like Christ is to the church. Christ is the good shepherd. Not only does the good shepherd go looking after the sheep, but the good shepherd is ready to die for his sheep. The good shepherd is ready to stand up to the wolves and fight them, resist them, and not allow his flock to be harmed. And why does the good shepherd lay down his life? Because he loves the sheep. Husbands, if you love your wives, you must love them as Christ loves the church. How much did Christ love the church? He died for the church. You must be ready to stand up and die and be counted. I will die in defense of my family. I will die to defend their souls from the attack of evil in the world. This is love. And of course, there's the other side of love. There is the love the church has for Christ. How does she express that love? But she sacrifices her own will. Not my will, but thine be done. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How does the wife and the children show their love of their father, their husband? But through obedience, respect. And they balance one another, but both of them entail hardship, a cross, a difficulty, a willingness not to give up, a willingness to die even for that last sheep. We look at our Lord's Sacred Heart, this symbol of love, and this symbol of love is surrounded by a crown of thorns. This symbol of love is, yes, it's a flame with love, but that's a burning flame surmounted by a cross. These are the emblems of love. And our Lord left his divinity, if you will, to take up our humanity. And of course, I must correct myself so the little children won't be scandalized. God, the Son of God, did not leave his divinity. He left heaven. He came to this earth, and he is still God, and he is still human. He is true God and true man simultaneously. Two natures, one person. But he set aside the manifestation of his divinity, and he appeared as one of us. And he drew around himself the sinners. He came to save the sinners. For the just, they don't need a savior, or at least they don't believe they need a savior. He came to save those who are honest enough, humble enough to strike their breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And it is to this sinner that our Lord's heart is opened. And this is to give us courage. This is to give us the confidence that we can approach God. Father, forgive me. No matter what my crime has been, God is all powerful, He is all good, and He loves me, and He wants to forgive me. And I have met people who say, well, no, you don't understand. God can never forgive me. My sin is too great. I said, you're just too proud. You think you're being humble by telling me what a terrible person you are. But it is your pride that is getting in the way. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no sin that God will not forgive if we truly repent. If we come to Him ready to embrace our cross, ready to sacrifice, ready to die rather than offend Him. When we come to Him in this state, He forgives everything as if it were nothing. It is not a problem. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It is very easy for God. The hard part is, do we really love God? Are we ready to humble ourselves? Are we ready to take up our cross? And if we say no, then I say we do not love. We deceive ourselves when we say we love God. We deceive ourselves when we say we want to go to heaven. Everything in this world comes at a price. You want to eat, you have to pay the bill. You want a house, you have to pay the mortgage. You want an apartment to rent, you must pay the rent. You want electricity, you must pay the electric bill. You want water, you must pay the water bill. You want to drive, you need to pay the loan on your car. You need to pay for gas to put in it. You need to pay to maintain it. What about our souls? What are we going to do for them? Are we ready to pay the price? Are we ready to put in the effort? Do we pray from the bottom of our heart? Do we pray like we mean it? Or do we just offer lip service to God? This lip service our Lord condemned in the Pharisees, in the scribes. These people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're not ready to sacrifice anything. They're not ready to do anything unless they receive praise and a pat on the back. Oh, and then they will tithe, then they will do great things because everyone is watching. And our Lord will say to them, amen, amen, I say to you, you have already received your reward. You did this for the praise of men, for the recognition of men. You got what you wanted. You have nothing to expect from me in eternity. What did you do for God? What did we do to express our love for God? The Pharisee stood before our Lord. I thank you, Lord. I'm not like the rest of men. I'm not like this public sinner. Look at all the good that I do. I fast. I tithe. I go above and beyond on everything. And our Lord said, and that Pharisee was not justified in the sight of God. All his good works were lost because he did not do it with love. He did not have humility. But the publican who stood afar off, striking his breast, begging God, be merciful to me, the sinner, in all humility, Jesus tells us this man went home justified, This man was forgiven because he was humble. And I would join because this man loved. The Pharisee standing before God does not love God. He only speaks of himself. He only loves himself. He loves the praise, the adulation, the recognition of his fellow men. He got it. God is good. He's just. He gave him exactly what he wanted. He wasn't working for God. He wasn't working for heaven. So that's not what he got. He wanted worldly recognition. He got it. The publican striking his breast, completely humiliated, begging God for mercy. He loves God. He's not concerned that before the rest of the world he looks like a miserable wretch. He's not concerned that the world doesn't want anything to do with him. He doesn't even consider himself. His love reaches out to God, "I am sorry because I have offended you." He goes to his father confessing his crime, "I'm sorry because I've let you down. I haven't been obedient. I haven't done what you asked me to do. I haven't loved you as I ought to love you." And this is the love that opens up the heart of Jesus. This is what welcomes him into our arms. And it is a continual love. It must continually progress. It must continually grow. It is not enough to say, "I have done this, I've completed the course, I'm done." You can only say that with St. Paul when you're ready to leave this world. And hopefully you can say it with the same conviction that St. Paul said. But as long as we're in this world, we have never done enough. You haven't done enough. You haven't loved God enough. And how can I say that? I say, because you're still here. You're not in heaven yet. You can still love God more. You can still do more for the love of God. You still have more to give. You still have more to sacrifice. You still have more love to raise up in your hearts. And I know among Catholics there's a lot of superstition. We want to put on that scapula of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and we look at that little inscription that says, "Whosoever dies wearing this garment will not suffer the eternal fires of hell." And oh yes, we're going to wear this, we're going to hold this, we're going to make sure we die wearing this piece of cloth. I say, you've missed it. That's not what the promise is guaranteeing at all. The Blessed Mother did not promise that if you wear this scapula that you can sin on bravely. That was Martin Luther, and that was condemned. "Oh, you see, I prayed on Sunday. I don't have to pray the rest of the week. I'm good for the whole week now. I went to Mass on Sunday." Nonsense. You want to love, you must love every single day, every single moment. Our daily examination of conscience is simply asking ourselves, how have I loved God today? And then hopefully we can repentantly come as the publican, striking our breast, saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." I mentioned at the beginning the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And oh yes, we read those promises of the Sacred Heart and we say, "I made the 9 first Fridays in honor of the Sacred Heart, and now I get all these promises." I'm guaranteed heaven. I'm guaranteed all these things. Only if you persevere in that sentiment of those 9 first Fridays, only if you persevere in loving God. It's not a guarantee. Our Lord did not say, make the 9 consecutive Fridays and then sin on bravely. Do whatever you want. Forget about God. Forget about heaven. Just live in this world and have a great time because you're guaranteed heaven. That's not what he says. That's not what he's telling us. That's what the devil is suggesting to us. The late Bishop Lewis used to preach very frequently that we should pray for the grace of final perseverance. It is wonderful that we start out well. It's wonderful that we continue well, but it all means nothing if we do not continue and persevere right up to the end. Our life is not over yet. We are still here. And God wants us to love him more today than we did yesterday. He wants us to love him tomorrow even more than we do right now. And in our childish mind, we want to ask, Bishop Giles, what are you talking about? When will it be enough? It will be enough when you're in heaven. When you're eternally secure. And I ask, if husbands and wives put limits to how much we're going to love, how much we're going to do, how much we're going to sacrifice, your marriage is doomed to failure. I tell young couples preparing them for matrimony, we cannot put a limit. We cannot begin counting. I did this for you, now you owe me this. It becomes very childish, tit for tat, we're keeping score. That is not love. The late Bishop Fulton Sheen preached that it takes 3 to get married, and then Christ, a man, and a woman. All 3 have to come together, and each one must give themselves completely. Marriage is not 50-50. If you go into marriage thinking you only have to give 50%, you're doomed to failure. You have to give 100%. You have to give your all, everything you have, into this marriage if you want it to succeed. Your partner has to give everything, 100%. That's what it means to love. And I tell you, with our souls, Christ has given us 100% of his love. And what does he ask of us? What does he demand of us? 100%. You say, but I have failed. I'm a miserable sinner. That's okay. Get up and try again. I keep falling down. Well, keep getting up. It's not working. Well, keep trying. Try something different. Don't give up. And I've met young men tell me, Father, it won't work. I says, you're right. It won't work. You know why it won't work? It's because you believe it won't work and you won't even try. You've given up. We need to change that attitude. We need to recall, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. If I begin my day with prayer, if I begin my life imploring God, my guardian angel, my patron saint, to come and help me in my day, in my task. It's not long before we realize with St. Paul, I can do all in him who strengthens me. No matter how far away I've strayed, No matter how big a mistake I've made, I can be God's friend at this very moment. And I can grow in grace and holiness. But most importantly, I can grow in the love of God. If I love Him, if I'm willing to pay the cost. On the one hand, the cost is very cheap. On the other hand, it's very expensive. It is cheap because God wants our love, and our love, we're nothing, so our love is really minuscule. But on the other hand, it's very expensive because He wants all of it. How must I love God? With my whole heart, with my whole soul, with my whole body, with my whole being. I must love God more than I love myself, more than I love my family, my neighbor, my friends. God must be first and foremost. I have to give Him my entire heart. I must love God with all that I have, all that I am. It's expensive. But things that are expensive are generally worth it, and this definitely is. Do not lose hope, but do not be a coward either. Love entails sacrifice. Let us not be afraid to pay that price, for Christ has done it for us. He has laid down His life so that we might live. It is only fair that we live our lives for Him. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.